You've likely felt the surge in your power bill over the past year, but there is hope that energy prices are at least lower than this time last year. It's been 12 months since the nation was warned about a critical power supply shortfall, and now new data shows growth in alternative sources of power are contributing to a less volatile market. The latest report from the Energy Market Regulator says wholesale electricity prices across eastern Australia remain historically elevated, but is well down from the record levels experienced last year. Tim Buckley from the independent think tank Climate Energy Finance says things have definitely changed since this time in 2022.
The issues plaguing the electricity market were very much fossil fuel hyperinflation. So fossil fuel, coal and gas prices had gone up not 10%, not 20%, not 100%, 1,000%. That is the thermal coal price, the coking coal price, and the liquid natural gas, which is our exported methane gas that we publicly own, but we've given away to multinational gas cartel. And they were extracting the same monopoly rents from the domestic Australian customer as they were from their international customers, all just war profiteering on the back of Putin's invasion of Ukraine and the sanctions against Russia, where Russia was the second largest fossil fuel exporter in the world. Australia was number three. And so the Australian gas cartel, the Australian coal export groups all thought that they would just maximise their war profiteering. They booked profits, unbelievable profits, last 12 months, $150 billion profit, and every one of your listeners, everyone in Australia is paying the price for them making record $150 billion profits.
Action taken now on that, though. So what's the report showing about what's happening with prices 12 months down the track?
Tom, the way you introduced it is spot on. The Australian Energy Market Regulator has just reported that wholesale electricity prices in the June quarter have dropped 59% year on year to $108, so down 59%. And the AEMO, Australian Energy Market Operator, reports the forward curves for electricity prices are down again next year and the year after and the year after that. So they're not coming back down to where they were 3, 4, 5 years ago, but they are definitely trending down and we're over the worst.
Okay, so what's happening to lead to that situation? Renewable energy, there's a lot in that space going on. We're hearing a lot about that this morning. How much has renewable energy made an impact on this?
It has made up all of the difference. So we are seeing electricity generation from gas and coal down. It was down 34% year on year in the second quarter. So gas is definitely not a transition fuel. It's not the solution. It's actually seen a one-third reduction in use in gas in the electricity sector in the last 3 months. All of the increase in supply is coming from rooftop solar, utility solar, and new wind projects. So renewables are definitely the solution. The AEMO does report there are nowhere near enough projects being built. The social license to operate, the grid transmission issues are still there. But there's one chart which gives me a lot of confidence. AEMO reports that in the last 12 months, applications approved by the various state governments have reached 7 gigawatts in just the last 12 months. That's up from 2 to 3 gigs a year for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I do note, though, because the head of AEMO, Daniel Westerman, spoke on the ABC this morning. He's saying there's been a slowdown on renewable energy investment, though. It's expensive, hard to get parts, takes a long time to get it delivered. I mean, how do we continue to invest in renewable energy when it faces these sorts of challenges, Tim Buckley?
Yes, there certainly are issues, and one of the number one issues, unfortunately, is Daniel Westerman's group and the state government approval system. They do need to pull their finger out. They do need to start approving a lot more projects and getting grid connections available. It's all very well. The AEMO reports there are 30,000 megawatts of approved projects or in the approval process. That is up 4 gigawatts just in the last 3 months. But as the moment, the completions of new projects are really depressed. So we've got this massive surge in new projects coming, massive surge in investor interest, but there are regulatory and grid constraints which are just blocking up the system and not letting enough new capacity come through.
Yeah, and let's just, I guess we need to put this optimism into context a little bit, though, because according to the latest data from AEMO, yes, okay, the price 59% lower, wholesale price 59% lower in the second quarter of this year. Still much higher than the average, though. I mean, in the long run, how do we get it down?
No, absolutely, Tom. We must get new generation into the system at in excess of the current run rates, like twice the current run rate. We've got to replace end-of-life coal-fired power plants. These plants are scheduled to close. They're end-of-life. We've known for 45 years that Eraring is going to close. We've known Vales Point's reaching 50 years of age. That's the end of useful life. You have to replace capacity ahead of schedule to put pressure, downward pressure on prices.
Not that easy if there's a slowdown in renewable energy investment, though.
Well, you're saying a slowdown. Daniel Westerman's highlighting there are capital cost blowouts across the board in Australia because we've got a construction boom underway in mining and in infrastructure and in energy markets. We also have an approval problem. We do need to remove those blockages and we need to get the projects built. So, yes, at the end of the day, it's pretty basic economics. Increase supply, everything else being equal, prices go down. We need to increase supply.
Tim Buckley from the independent think tank Climate Energy Finance speaking with Thomas Arritti on ABC News Radio. Well, while many of us check our bills as the cost of living remain high, people who are blind say they're at a significant disadvantage because they're often sent bills that aren't accessible. They say that utility companies could be in breach of the Disability Discrimination Act because of it. National Disability Affairs reporter Naz Campanella explains.
As Ria Adriani switches on the dishwasher in her Sydney home, she considers the impact it'll have on her power bill.
What am I getting charged for? When am I getting charged? Like, what is the best time for using electricity, for, you know, doing the household tasks?
The 33-year-old is blind and uses speech software, which sounds like this.
This is a bill. We are reading a test bill.
To read documents on her computer. PDF bills in particular often contain columns and tables that are tough for the software to comprehend.
What they don't realise is the way the screen reader interacts with the PDF itself. It always scrambles the information, but without knowing the details in the bills itself, it's really hard to lower the bill.
For Perth man Ryan Honschutin, who is also blind, not being able to read his own bills is frustrating and risks his privacy.
It really does impact your independence because then what you have to do is either wait for a sighted person to be available or you then have to go and interrupt a sighted person and say, hey, can you, read this for me?
Australia does have guidelines for digital accessibility, but the Centre for Accessibility Australia, Scott Hollier, says they're out of date.
The international standard we follow is from 2008, but the current standard is 2018. And a big problem we have in Australia is that if organisations don't follow their policy requirements, there's not much in the way of enforcement.
Dr. Wayne Hawkins from the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network agrees.
If you're not providing your information in accessible format, either through an accessible PDF or other digital format, then it would be in breach of the Disability Discrimination Act.
And he says a lack of clear information means people can't make important financial decisions at a time when they need it most.
Given the cost of living crisis that we're going through, this is just adding more pressure to families to try and make the right choices about the goods and services that they're accessing. And if they don't have that information, then they're at a significant disadvantage.
In a statement, the Human Rights Commission says it has no powers to regulate or enforce web access guidelines in Australia, and it believes the Disability Discrimination Act is due for reform. It says there have been substantial technological advancements since the Act came into force, which means certain provisions are not well adapted to the modern digital world and are no longer fit for purpose. Fed up with her old provider, Ria Adriani has since signed up with a new electricity company, and she's been assured her bills will be accessible.
If you're not able to provide what I need, then I will spend my money elsewhere.
Sydney resident Ria Adriani ending that report by Naz Campanella. This is ABC News Radio. I'm Brendan Arrow. Making news today, the Albanese government says it's hopeful a planned export deal with Berlin for Australian-made Boxer Army vehicles will survive, despite a South Korean company beating a German rival for a more lucrative defence contract. An urgent nationwide search is underway for blood donors with a rare blood